It's begin to look a lot like Christmas.
Myself going anywhere else. I give to CFC because I like to pay my bills. You know, as you are at home, you pay your rent, you pay your electricity, you pay all these things, and you want them on when you go. Well, the same goes with your church. When you give to your church, as I give to CFC, you're giving to your church to keep the lights on, to keep the things going, so you can keep being fed every time you walk in the door. And I have absolutely no qualms with doing that. I also volunteer in the kids' church because I love children. I love to give back to the community. I know some people really, really, really may need a word, and that word may be just their saving grace. And so I love them. Take a look at the 5 and 10. It's glistening once again. Candy canes and silver lanes that glow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in a crystal. What a pretty sight to see is the holly that you leave on your own front door. Just the wish of finding a man. Dogs will talk and we'll go for a walk as the wind will jump and jump. Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like the snow. Everywhere you go, there's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well. It's the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your thank you.
the prettiest sight to see. Is the holly that on your own front door? Sure, it's Christmas once more.
Oh, Thank you. everybody. Good morning, everybody. How many people is glad to be in church today? How many people are glad you saved today? You know, the Word of God says in the book of Romans, chapter 10, whoever calls upon the Lord will be saved. Now, we think of saved very often. We just think of it as salvation in the sense of going to heaven, being born again, being a child of God. And of course that is it does include that. But the word saved is not limited just to our salvation. The word saved in the Greek is the word sozo. If you can think of bozo, this is sozo. And it literally means salvation, provision, healing, safety, victory, deliverance. Whoever calls upon the Lord will be saved. That means no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're facing right now, we're all facing different things. No matter what you're facing, I want you to know, if you will call upon the Lord, you will be saved. Because the Bible says, call to me. In the book of Jeremiah, God said, call to me and I will answer you. Those who call upon the Lord will be saved. I want us to sing that together, that chorus, one more time. And I want you to sing it with us. I want you to make it a declaration today. I'm calling upon you, Lord. I'm looking to you. I'm trusting in you. I'm relying on you. I'm here today to meet with you, Lord. I'm here today to hear from you. I'm here today to be strengthened. I'm here today to get into your presence. Come on, let's sing it together. I will call on the Lord. He alone is strong enough to say, rise, your shackles are no more. Jesus Christ has broken every chain. I will call upon the Lord. He today, because there is no God like our God. Lord, you alone are worthy. You alone are mighty. You alone are great. You alone, you've saved us. You've delivered us. We give you praise. We're so thankful. We're so grateful for your goodness in our life. Lord, we come here today to meet with you. We come here today to call upon you. We come to worship you. We come to hear from you. Lord, we give you all the praise for everything said, for everything done. Lord, you know every person who's here today. You know how many hairs are upon their head. You know every need. You know every circumstance. I pray that you will speak to people, minister to people. I pray that you will heal people, Lord. Deliver people, set people free. Let not one person leave here the same way that they came in today, but let them be changed. Let them be transformed by your word and by your spirit in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that this morning? Come on, give the Lord one more big hand of praise. And give him another shout today. Hallelujah.
themselves in praise, says the Lord. When you call upon my name, what you do is you call heaven to pay attention to what is taking place in your life. And when you call upon my name, says the Lord, my name contains everything that you could possibly need. When you call upon my name, all of heaven stands to attention. All of the angels of God pay attention to what you are calling and asking for, says the Lord. So know this, that you are my children. And just like in times of need, your children will call to you and you'll pay attention to them. So I tell you right now that my eyes are turned to you, says the Lord. My eyes are turned upon you. Don't feel that I'm nowhere to be found. Don't feel that I don't care. For I care, says the Lord. All it takes is for you to call to me. All it takes is for you to proclaim the name of Jesus over your situation. Proclaim the name of Jesus over your family. Proclaim the name of Jesus over the issues that you are facing. And all of heaven comes to your help, says the Lord. Know this, my children. Don't feel that you are on your own. Don't feel that you are afraid and you don't know what's going to happen. For if you call upon me, I'm backing you up. I'm backing you up every step of the way. And if I'm backing you up, then no force of hell can stand against you. But the devil will want to put fears in your mind and want to put concerns upon you that you don't know what tomorrow holds. But I do, says the Lord. And when you call upon me, everything that I have for you in your tomorrows comes to pass. Because you and I walk hand in hand into the future, says the Lord. So all it takes is for you, my children, to call on my name. And it's done, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God. Well, tell your neighbor you look better this week than you did last week.
You have to be careful when you say that, because then they, you know, you get offended. You're like, what was I wearing last week? Praise God. Well, good to see you this morning. Good to see you all. How are you doing? Good? Anybody good? Yes. Wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity." And then it says, there the Lord commands his blessing. So when we as a body of believers get together, we get in unity, we worship God together, we get together in fellowship, there is a blessing that God commands right there in that place. So that's right here. Amen. You can expect a blessing from the Lord this morning. Well, we're very glad to see you in church. I like to get up and, because when we get in here first, you're not all here. And so it's nice to get up and see your faces. But we're looking forward to an awesome service. I especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. If you are a visitor at our church today, we're very grateful that you're here. We love having visitors in our church, don't we? Yes, we do. And so if you are here for the first time, we'd just like to welcome you. Right where you're sitting, we're not going to ask you to stand or say anything, but we just would like to recognize you. So if you're here for the first time, would you just wave your hand for us? God bless you. God bless you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. The number of you visitors there. If you wouldn't mind just raising, we have a gift bag we'd like to give you. It'll be at the book table right at the end of the service. If you wouldn't mind just going back to the book table after the service, pick up your gift bag. In there's a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve, and we hope that it'll be a blessing to you. But what we do in our church, we have a clipboard that comes by in the service. It helps us as pastors to pastor the people, know who was here, because sometimes some of you run out so fast to go and have lunch. We don't even get to say hi, but when that comes by, each of our members, everybody here just fills their name in. So if you are visiting for the first time, wouldn't you just put your name down there and give the pastor an opportunity to call you and just thank you for coming this morning. So thank you for doing that. Thanks to all our visitors. Thanks, Pastor Steve.
Praise God. Today is our Heart for the House Sunday. Today is our Heart for the House Sunday. Thanks, Dolores. One person's excited about that. Now, how many of you are thankful for our church? How many of you are thankful that you can come every week and just enjoy the presence of God and hear the Word of God? Bring your children with you to children's church. How many of you are thankful for that? Amen. Somebody came to me this morning before the service, Mary Bell. She was sharing with me how her life has changed since she's been coming to this church, right? She remembers the dates. She's telling me the dates. This day, that happened on this day, that happened on this day, this time and this day. You're good with your dates, right? So we're thankful for you, Mary Bell. And today is Heart for the House Sunday. And we're going to start out today something a little different. That's me. We're going to start out showing you a video. We're going to show you a video from some people in our church sharing how their life has changed. Now, of course, there's many, many other people that we won't be able to, you know, you won't hear from today. But these are just a few. And then I'm going to share from the Word of God this morning. I'm going to teach from the Word of God about having a heart, having a passion for the house of God, how Jesus had a passion for the house of God, David had a passion for the house of God. God wants us to have a passion for His house. Amen. 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 And so I want to ask the, thank you, Andrew. We're going to bring the lights down so you can see it real good. This video is about 15 minutes, and then I'm going to go straight into the Word of God. Is that good? Are you ready?
Yes.
All right.
I'm thankful for CFC because they have welcomed me with open arms from the beginning, tattoos and all. And they didn't judge me for who I was. They completely accepted me. And my life has actually been completely changed by this church because with Pastor Steve and the way that he talks and preaches, you feel like he's talking to you, directly at you from God. And I cannot express my gratitude for that. I've also learned a lot about myself in coming to this church. I've learned to grow in my faith. I've learned to accept things that I can't change and forgive things that I needed to forgive. And I'm very, very grateful for this church. It's my family. And I couldn't see myself going anywhere else. I give to CFC because I like to pay my bills. You know, as you are at home, you pay your rent, you pay your electricity, you pay all these things, and you want them on when you go. Well, the same goes with your church. When you give to your church, as I give to CFC, you're giving to your church to keep the lights on, to keep the things going, so you can keep being fed every time you walk in the door. And I have absolutely no qualms with doing that. I also volunteer in the kids' church because I love children. I love giving back to the community. I know some people really, really, really may need a word, and that word may be just their saving grace. And so I love volunteering with the kids. I love being at this church. I love my church family. I love Pastor Steve and Pastor Jill. They completely accept you for who you are with open arms, and I could not more grateful than I am.
Hi CFC, this is Mandy Chan. I have three main points that I want to share with you today. Why I'm grateful for CFC. I'm grateful because I get to come to the house of the Lord and worship with each of you every Sunday. And I get to witness non-believers being saved and let God be the leader of their life. And I learn how to pray in heavenly language. Then I can pray directly to our Father. I even have the opportunity to get to be part of the worship team and sing praises to the Lord. And how my life has changed and impacted because of the teaching. I take notes every Sunday, as you can see here. And I pray with friends and family every week of the topic that I learned. For example, our recent study on October 23rd, Don't Limit God. I can praise God that He can and He will. And pray to get into God's will barrel. And don't be afraid and only believe. With man, this is impossible, and with God, everything is possible. And God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask to or think. And we are more than a conqueror, and the best day is ahead of us. So, and we have all the scriptures to support the teaching. I wrote them all down here. And it's the best way to edify one another. And he also helped me with a desire every year. In 2015, my desire to sing, be on the worship team, and 2016, and to go on a mission trip. So I'm excited to see what 2017 he has for me. Why I give is to put him first and be obedient to his commandments. It's the freedom that we can surrender our finance to him. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and whom the Son sets free has liberty. And most importantly is to promote his kingdom. He blesses us so much that we can be a blessing to others, and not just for our own selves. And he never fails. He knows how much we can handle, and we will never lack if we give selflessly. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Chris Birch, and I'm just so grateful for CFC Church. A friend of mine asked me to come to this church at a low point in my life when he knew that I needed to get into a good church. He saw Pastor Steve and Jill on TV and thought this would be a great one. I came, and boy, what a decision that made in my life and in my family's life. For all the challenges that we had ahead of us, God just calmed the storms and removed any mountains that were before us. And it's just had a great impact in my life, my family's life, my daughter's life. Three of my daughters got married in this church. It's just been a blessing all the way around. My grandkids, we all come here and we just love it. And my recently deceased wife. And thank God for CFC, because it helped us get through that storm. It removed the mountains. The people gathered together and they just helped us, you know, through that challenging time. We know that my wife's in heaven, and I'll see her in eternity. We weren't big tithers in the beginning, but we found out in Malachi that you just put God to the test on giving and see what the changes happens in your life. And, you know, great things has just happened to us in business, in my daughter's business. We just have blessing after blessing come to us. We love Pastor Steve, Pastor Jill, and Dan.
There you go. Come on, do this. We're Tim and Dave, and we're representing the McMahon family, Juju and Zion. Tim's older brother aren't here today, but we just wanted to say how grateful we are to Christian Family Church for providing a church home for our family. We love attending church here, meeting our friends, meeting God on a weekly basis, being fed from the Word of God through Pastor Steve's and Pastor Jill's wonderful messages. And we also are so grateful for the opportunity to serve in the church where Juju is in children's church and is just enjoying spending time with the children and helping raise them up in the Lord. And I have the privilege of serving on the worship team where I get to watch the Spirit of God move in worship service.
Hi, my name is Miguel. I'm grateful for Christian Family Church for restoring my marriage and restoring my family. When we got here from New Jersey, we just moved from New Jersey 3 years ago. First thing we did was get plugged into a church. Thank God it was this church, because with the guidance of Pastor Steve, he has restored our marriage to happiness that we've never seen before, we never experienced before. And we're very grateful for that. That's why part of that, that's why we volunteer on everything pretty much that we could volunteer in. And we really owe everything to Christian Family Church. And we're going to be always thankful, Pastor Steve, for introducing us to Christ and living the life that we're meant to be living.
Hola, mi nombre es Miguel Robles. La razón por que yo estoy agradecido de esta iglesia, Christian Family Church, es porque nosotros cuando nos mudamos de New Jersey hace 3 años, nuestro matrimonio y nuestra familia estaba hecha un desastre. Pero a la vez que entramos a esta iglesia, gracias a Dios que nos guió a esta iglesia, el pastor Steve, y él nos puso nuestro matrimonio, nuestra familia en orden otra vez y como debería ser. Y siempre vamos a estar agradecidos de él. Por eso nosotros somos fieles en la ofrenda, en voluntarios, en diezmos, en todas las cosas que Dios te pide a ti para hacer. Y por el resto de la vida, hasta que Dios me llame, vamos a estar en esta iglesia y vamos a ayudar a echar hacia adelante.
Hi, my name is Jim Galloway. I'm very grateful for Christian Family Church and all the family that I have here for many reasons. 3 months ago, my life was a total wreck, train wreck as a matter of fact, and with substance abuse, alcoholism, cigarettes, etc. 3 to 5 years from heart attack or stroke. My wife left me, it was just, it couldn't get any worse. When I needed support, I found a Christian Family Church. Tony Corrado was the conduit that invited me here. But since I've been here, my life has changed. I'm not the same person. I've completely given my life to the Lord. And I'm thrilled about it every day. I'm not the person I was. I'm just not, I don't sound the same, I don't look the same. I mean, you could just sound like some Sunday how I am not the same. I thought I was a good guy. I could value as humble, but I kind of wasn't always a good guy. But now I'm a great guy. But I'm grateful to Christian Family Church for being here for me and still being here for me. And that's why I love giving back as much as I can to help support this church and the people here, whether it's through prayer, through setting up or tearing down for services, having Bible study at my house, which I love, or just being here to help someone, because I think what's most important for me right now is who can I help? The way I was helped. Well, once again, I'm beyond grateful for this place, and I look forward to many, many years being here and growing.
Hi, my name is Chris, and this is my wife, Isabel. I'm so grateful for this church, for its uncompromising word of faith we receive from Pastor Steve every Sunday. From the first day we walked through the church doors, the teaching we heard from Pastor Steve, we just knew we were in a place where we could learn and grow in God's wisdom. After 10 years, I could truly say, boy, have we. Both my family, in faith, and in knowledge of God's word, it's been a fantastic experience.
Also, our children have been going here since they were very little, and they've grown so much in the Lord and in the knowledge of the Lord. And so we're pleased with that, because the children ministry also takes very good care of their growth spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. And so we appreciate the ministry that CFC also provides. And I serve as in the children's ministry as a teacher, and I also serve as part of the salvation team for the new believers. And my husband serves as usher as well as a greeter for the church.
And there's no doubt about it that all the growth that's taken place over the years comes with that serving, as well as giving to this wonderful collection of people in this church.
Hi, my name is Dolores, and I am so thankful to Christian Family Church. My life has been changed forever. I've been baptized in water, participating in the Christian Growth Seminar, attended Bible College for 1 year, and I am probably a member of the soul winning team. As you can see, our pastors not only are committed to the impartation of the Word of God, they are also dedicated to equipping every believer to achieve their highest potential in our Christian walk. So it is phenomenal to be part of a great church that is constantly growing and thriving in the area, not only inside, but also outside in our community. Also, I love the Lord with all my heart, and I am on fire for God. Yes, all the way. Cristo vive. Hallelujah.
Hey everybody, my name is Karan Shah, and I'm grateful to Christian Family Church because I finally found the Lord in my heart, and through the help of the people in this church, I have a new lease on life. I was born in India in traditionally the Hindu faith. My family moved to the U.S. in the early 90s, and even though I was part of a very large extended family, I felt alone for most of my life, really having no concept of God, no idea of what God was or why He would even want to help somebody like me. I had gone through life until about age 30, struggling, suffering, depression that was untreated, lots of broken relationships. I had a lot of anger and rage. It's only by the grace of God, even though I was doing dumb things and running on self-will, I still feel that God was always protecting me. Eventually, thoughts of suicide really became very common to me. I had married, I had converted into Islam, I had tried to learn about the faith, but within 2 years my divorce had occurred, and not really knowing anyone or anywhere else to turn to, I started to explore what are the options out there. I had started to, you know, search for churches near me, not really understanding what or why I wanted to do that. It felt something inside of me spoke. I came into the church, to Christian Family Church. I had Googled churches near me, and without any reservation, I walked in. I was a little hesitant, but the people that I met, my friends Mary, Tony, Ray, they were all very welcoming. Doug, even the pastor came up to me and introduced me and said hello. Eventually, something inside of me changed, and it started to change. This God that's out there, He has loved me from the day I was born, and He was just waiting for me to come to Him. And when I asked for help, He was always there. It's been a phenomenal journey. I am seeking to become closer to my God. My God is inside of me. And though I still have, you know, the normal things of fear and doubt and uncertainty, I'm slowly, slowly overcoming those with the help of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that would not be possible had it not been for the people at Christian Family Church. I love you all, and may God bless you. And I hope that this message helps somebody else, because I too have been alone, but I'm no longer alone, because no matter where I am, my Lord is always with me.
Hi, my name is Carol, and I'm grateful for my church because it has given me a foundation to build my faith on. I'm taught the Word of God every week, so now I feel I have a relationship with Jesus. I'm more grateful and thankful. I find positivity in all situations since coming here. I don't stress or worry about anything because I know God's in control, and He led my path to this church, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for my pastors, Steve and Jill, because they genuinely care and love all of us. And I learn something new here every week, and I apply it to my daily life. And I'm a better person all around just because I come here, and I'd rather be no place else.
Hey, I'm James Smith, and I'm a son at Christian Family Church, and I'm so blessed to be a part of this ministry. I've been a part of this ministry 9 years and probably about 3 months, and God has really been a blessing to me and my wife and my family. I thank God for the word that comes so straight, so pure. You know, you don't have to try to figure out what it's saying, because the word is put in order the way, I mean, it's interpreted the way it's supposed to be. It's spoken the way the pastor and his wife get up and how they just bring the word and explain things the way it should be explained. I work in the house as a usher, and I help with set up. In the house, I do whatever I can do, because if you're part of a house, then you should do whatever you can to make the house go straight and stay in order. And I like the fact that we all get a chance to work. I mean, it don't matter who come in. When you come in, we get to work. We get a chance to do a lot of great things. We have a lot of great speakers come here. Different people come and minister to our lives. And since my wife and I have been into this ministry, God has opened up a lot of doors. I mean, she got raised, got another job, and got a raise on the job that she had. God has opened up doors for my family, you know, because we've been praying, we've been hearing the word here, and God has doing great things in the midst of our family. And me, myself, God has opened up an opportunity for me to be featured in a CD and a single with Universal Music Group. And I know God did that because of the move that we made. We was at one point we felt like we were stagnant, and that we knew it was something else that God wanted to do, but we didn't know what it was. But until I came and visited Christian Family Church, and I couldn't believe that it was really, God was really speaking to me about coming here. And then I came back two more times, and then I said, that's it. And it was amazing when I went home. I was on my way home. I was telling God, now you told me that I should be here.
So I don't know how I'm going to explain it to my wife. And it's amazing. When I came to the front door, and she normally don't meet me at the front door. This particular time, she met me at the front door. She said, "Baby, I think it's just time for us to move on." And I said, "Good, thank you." I said, "That's what I was getting ready to talk to you about." But since I've been here, I'm telling you, God has really blessed our lives. And you know, I give in this house because I am a son and I am a giver, and our Father is a giver. As a matter of fact, His Word told us, "Give and we shall receive." And if He told us, "Be not mocked, that whatsoever you sow, then you shall also reap." So I don't want to reap corruption. I want to really be working in the kingdom. I give to build up the kingdom. And I thank God for blessing us with all the things that He's given us, and only asking us to give back 10% and then be a part of giving into the house of God, because we know that it's the end times and that we can't expect for the world to finance the church. We have to come in as sons and finance the church. So we thank God for blessing us with what He's given us and the finances that He's given us, that we can be a blessing to this ministry, so this ministry can be a blessing to the world.
Amen. Hi, my name is Anthony Camerano, and I'm very thankful to be a part of the Christian Faith Church. I've been a member for 3 months now. What brought me to come to the church was I lost my wife. I was lonely. I had a good friend that I talked to that brought me to the church. And when I walked in, the pastor's sermon was me that day. And 4 days after that, I'm estranged from my family. I haven't talked to in over 30 years. My sister called me. I flew to New Jersey on some business, met with my family, made amends, came back. Came back on a Friday, and one of the things that the pastor said was, "You have to be able to want to come to church. Don't come because you have to come." And I could not wait to get to services on Sunday. And so here we go. I walk in on Sunday. I have my certain spot that I sit now, third row and right. The sermon, what was it about? Me. Everything the pastor said. And so Sunday's sermon was my second week. Sunday's sermon was about giving, about sharing, forgiveness. And that's what I've done, and it's made me a better person. I try to give back as much as possible. I'm in the restaurant business. I work a lot of hours. This, to me, to have the pastor and his wife call me. I forgot to tell you the first day, so I had raised my hand and I got a CD. It's in my car right now. And periodically I throw it on, you know, and I'll listen to it. Bill Hovansky bought me a Bible. And so I started to read. I got my certain things that I like to read. I try to read in the morning while I'm having my coffee and before I go to work. So my life has been so calm, at ease, and I'm grateful to be able to be a part of the church.
It's Brandy, and I am thankful for CFC because they have welcomed.
Isn't that great? I love hearing those testimonies. Everyone sitting in here this morning has a testimony. Right? I want to thank those people who came, took the time to come and do the filming for us. Thank you for doing that. Thank you to Dan, who did such a great job and worked so hard on editing that. Amen. Give them a big round of applause. Want to do that? Now, this Sunday is our Heart for the House Sunday. And really what you heard, that's what it's all about. That's why we do what we do. I'm thankful for the house of God. When I was 15 years old, my mother took me to Christian Family Church in Johannesburg, South Africa, 1979. And my life changed. I gave my life to Jesus Christ and I was transformed. My whole family got saved at Christian Family Church, Johannesburg. We all started attending, all got involved. I got involved in youth ministry. I was a youth leader. And then I was an usher, and my dad was the youth director, and we were all new Christians in the church. So my dad smoked cigarettes for 25 years. And when he became a Christian, he said, no one better tell me that I can't smoke anymore. And Pastor Theo never said a word to him. So Pastor Theo asked my dad to be the youth director when he'd been a Christian for 3 months. So he'd do the youth and then he'd go outside and have a cigarette. Come back, preach to the youth, go out and have a cigarette. Now, of course, he ended up quitting. But I'm telling you, I'm thankful for the house of God. It's changed my life. It's changed my family. I'm thankful for God's house. How about you? Yeah. Amen. I met my wife at the house of God. We've gone to school from the second grade. We went to the same school. But, you know, I don't know if she ever said two words to me in 8 years at school. I don't think she said two words to me. But I met her when I went to Pastor Theo's church. Here she comes walking through the door. We raised our children in the house of God. Now our children are raising our grandchildren in the house of God. I love the house of God. I have a passion for the house of God. I wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for the house of God. Can someone say amen? Amen. Do you know that Jesus was passionate about the house of God? John 2 verse 17. Remember that time when Jesus went into the temple and the Bible says he took they were selling and trading and selling and buying. Money changers were selling and buying in the temple of God, and Jesus took a whip and he drove them all out. Remember that story? The Bible says that the disciples remembered the prophecy from the scriptures. It's in Psalm 69. Passion for God's house will consume me. That's talking about Jesus. Jesus was consumed with passion for the house of God. Jesus was and he is passionate about the house of God, family. Do you know that Jesus attended church every week? Do you know that Jesus went to church every week? I said, do you know that Jesus went to church every week? Some of you don't know that. Luke chapter 4 verse 16. He came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. The New Living Translation says he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath. And the Message Bible says, as he always did on the Sabbath, he went to the meeting place, the church. He always did it. It was his custom. As usual, Jesus went to church every week. Amen. And he's still here today. Yes. That's why we're here. He's in our midst, right? Yes. He was passionate about the house of God. Jesus had a heart for the house of God. Do you have a heart for God's house? Are you passionate about the house of God? Because God wants you to have a heart for his house. Jesus said in Matthew 16 in verse 18, he said, I will build my church. I will build my church. And the powers of hell will not conquer it. Jesus said, I'm building my church. Why should we have a heart for the house of God? You know why? Because it's the only institution that Jesus is building. It's the only thing that's going to last for eternity. 100 years from now, there probably won't be any apple. I don't mean the apple you eat. I mean the Apple computer. Apple's pretty big right now, right? Would anyone agree Apple's pretty big? 100 years from now, probably won't even exist. Do you know how few businesses are around from 100 years ago? And there's none from 1,000 years ago. But the church has been around for 2,000 years. Despite persecution, despite it just keeps thriving. And I want you to know, should Jesus tarry, because I believe Jesus is coming back soon, but should he tarry, the church will still be here 2,000 years from now. It is the only thing that's going to last for eternity, and I want to invest my life in something that God is building. I want to invest my life in what God is doing. How about you? Amen. I want to dedicate my life to that which counts through eternity. Moses said in Psalm 90. Moses said this. Moses said, teach us, Lord, teach us to number our days, to recognize how few they are, and help us to spend them as we should. What was he saying? He was saying, Lord, help us to make the most of our time on the earth. Help us to spend our time on things that really matter. Do you know when you get involved in building the house of God, you are getting involved in building something that is going to last throughout eternity? Amen. The best thing that you can invest your time in, the best thing you can invest your life in, is what is in what God is building, is in what is important to Him. I don't want to invest my whole life in something that doesn't matter to God. How about you? I want to invest my life in something that he's building, that He's involved in. I want to have a heart for what God has a heart for. When you have a heart for God's house, you will be committed to help build God's house. Three things I want to share with you today. When you have a heart for the house of God, number one, you will bring other people to the house of God. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Try to contain yourself now. When you have a heart for the house of God, you bring others to the house of God. Right, Tony? Last Sunday we had Bill Weiss. I really appeal to people to bring people for the Bill Weiss service. And thank you to those of you who brought people last Sunday to the Bill Weiss service. But most of you didn't bring people. In fact, many of our members weren't even here. Because you know what they said? Well, I already heard Bill Weiss. I already heard him, Pastor Steve. I think I'm going to skip church that Sunday. If you have a heart to see people saved, and if you have a heart to build the house of God, you don't come to the house of God just for what you get out of it. You come to the house of God for what you can give to it, and you bring other people with you. Hopefully not. The truth is, let me tell you the truth is that anybody who we have ministered at this church, I have had them because I've heard from God. And let me tell you, you need to hear Bill Weiss's story on 23 Minutes of Hell. It's good for you to hear it on a regular basis. Amen. You know, Bill said to me, he's traveled for the last 10 years telling that story all over and over and over. He's been to 700 churches. He's told that story of his experience in hell thousands of times. And you know what he said to us? He said, you know, Steve, it's good for me. He said, I find when I share the story about what happened in hell, it's good for me. It motivates me. It keeps me focused on eternal things. But sometimes we can get so busy in our life, we forget, folks, there's a hell that is real. There's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. When you've got a heart for the house of God, you want to help build the house of God. And that means bringing new people. That means discipling people. Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 19, He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So if you're following Jesus, guess what? You're fishing for men. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11 says, because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. He died for everyone so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. He died for us that we would no longer live for ourselves, but that we would live for Jesus who died for us, was raised for us. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. Say, God has given me the task of reconciling people to Him. It says God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Say, I speak for Jesus. Say, I'm His ambassador. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verse 5, he said, work at bringing others to Christ. Paul also said in Colossians 1:28, he said, everywhere we go, we tell everybody about Christ. I work very hard at this as I depend on Christ's mighty power that works in me. He says, everywhere we go, we tell everyone about Jesus. I'm working hard at telling everyone about Jesus. Folks, listen, we got a responsibility. God is counting on you to tell everybody you meet about our wonderful Lord and Savior and our salvation. God's counting on us. We have a responsibility to tell everybody we meet about Jesus. Amen. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Jesus said in Mark chapter 5, Jesus said, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion for you. Go and tell your friends what the Lord has done for you. When you have a heart for God, when you have a heart for God's house, you want to help build His house. That means bringing people, new people, discipling people. God's house is made up of people. Folks, God's house is not this building. God's house is not a building. It's not an auditorium. Even it's not even a church with a steeple on it. You, God's house. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The Bible says we're living stones. Do you know, every one of you is a living stone in the house of God. We've got a part to play. We're a stone in the house of God. We've got a part. Together, you, the house of God. Whether we're meeting here in the hotel, whether we're meeting in an auditorium, whether we're leasing a factory, whether we're meeting in a church with a steeple, whether we're meeting in a field out there, or whether we're meeting on the beach, you are the church when you gather together and begin to give praise to Jesus. We are the living stone. This is the church. As I showed you the video, because that's the church.
Amen.
When you have a heart for the house of God, you will serve in the house of God. You'll serve faithfully in the house of God. David said in Psalm 84, verse 10, he said, a day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. He said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Listen to the New Living Translation. It says, a single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. Listen to the Message Bible. One day spent in your house, this beautiful place of worship, beats 1,000 spent on Greek island beaches. I'd rather scrub floors in the house of my God than be honored as a guest in the house of sin. I'd rather scrub floors in the house of God than be honored in the palace of sin as a guest. David is a king. The king, he said, I'd rather scrub the floors in the house of God. David had a love and a passion for the house of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
No matter who you are. Doesn't matter who you are. We are all called to serve in the house of God.
Amen.
I love the story of Kathy Truett. You know Kathy Truett, the founder of Chick-fil-A. Now he passed away not too long ago. He lived to be pretty old. I mean, I think he was 85, 86, around then. But anyway, here's what I love about Kathy Truett. Kathy Truett, the founder of Chick-fil-A, of course, so famously known that they close on Sundays, right? He was a very strong, committed believer. Do you know that even though he was a billionaire, I mean, I think we can all agree, I'm sure he was probably a billionaire, right? He served in his church, teaching children's church for 54 years. That's humility. How many of you know he didn't have to do that? He could have bought the church, bought the building. I mean, but no, I'd rather scrub floors in the house of my God. He served in the house of God. The Bible says in Mark 10, verse 45, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve and give. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he didn't demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave. We should have the same attitude. Jesus came to serve and give. We should have the attitude, I'm here to serve and I'm here to give. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Galatians 5:13 says you were called to freedom. But don't let your freedom be an excuse to be selfish, but rather in love serve one another. Tell your neighbor, I'm here to serve you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible compares the body of Christ, the church, to the human body. It says, just like a human body has got many parts, every part is needed. So it is with the body of Christ, with the church. We all, like in a human body, someone's the hand, someone's the finger, someone's the ear, someone's the eye, someone's the eyelash, someone's the foot, someone's the heart, someone's the lung. We all have a part to play in the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:16 says, He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. When each part in the body does its part, that's what causes the body to be strong and to be growing and to be thriving. When you have a heart for the house of God, you will serve faithfully in the house of God. If you're not serving yet, I want to encourage you to get involved, to step up, to volunteer. Come to me, come to my wife, get hold of one of the ushers, say, I want, how can I get involved, how can I serve? And get involved serving. Have a love and a passion for the house of God. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
And then finally, if you have a love for the house of God and a heart for the house of God, you will give to the house of God.
Amen.
So today is our heart for the house day. Today, I'm asking you to look inside your heart and to give something special in this heart for the house offering to enable us to do what God has called us, in effect, to enable us to go beyond. You see this in the early church of Acts. The early church in the book of Acts, they had such a heart and passion for the house of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, it says, Now the multitude of those who believed, in other words, the believers, they were of one heart and they were of one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And there was, it says, nor was there any among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of land and houses, they sold them. And they brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and they laid them at the apostles' feet, that they distributed to each one as everyone had need. And Joseph, who was named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated as son of encouragement, having land, he sold it and brought the money, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. They went out and they sold land, they sold houses. They had all things in common. They were committed. They had a heart for the house of God. You see this again in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul wrote to the church and he said, Now friends, I want to report on the surprising and the generous ways in which God is working in the churches in Macedonian province. Fierce troubles came down on the people of those churches, pushing them to the very limit. The trial exposed their true colors. They were incredibly happy, though desperately poor. The pressure triggered something totally unexpected, an outpouring of pure and generous gifts. I was there. I saw it for myself. They gave offerings of whatever they could, for far more than they could afford, pleading for the privilege of helping out in the relief of poor Christians. This was totally spontaneous, entirely their own idea. It caught us completely off guard. What explains it is they had first given themselves unreservedly to God and to us, and the other giving simply flowed out of the purposes of God working in their life. Do you know, when you give yourself to God, you give Him everything. When you give yourself to God, you've got no problem giving money to God. That's what prompted us to ask Titus to bring the relief offering to your attention, so that what was so well begun could be finished up. You do so well in so many things. You trust God. You're articulate. You're insightful. You're passionate. You love us. Now do your best in this too. What? Do your best in giving. Excel in the area of giving. Today and throughout the month of December, we are going to be receiving our heart for the house offering. And this isn't something new. This happened back with Moses. When God told Moses to build him a tabernacle, the Bible says Moses received from the people in Exodus chapter 35. It says Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and he said, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take from among you an offering to the Lord, whoever is of a willing heart. Let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold and silver and bronze. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for its service, and for all the holy garments. And it says they came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart. They brought earrings and nose rings and rings and necklaces, all kinds of jewelry of gold. That is every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord. And it says in chapter 36 in verse 3, it says they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing him free will offerings every morning. Say free will.
Free will.
Say free will.
Free will.
This offering today is a free will offering. It's an opportunity, not an obligation. It's not an obligation. No one's under any pressure. This is a free will offering. It says all the craftsmen who were doing the work of the sanctuary, they came, each from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, and they said, the people bring much more. The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work the Lord commanded me to, us to do. So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from giving, for the material that they had was sufficient for all the work, indeed too much. I tell you right now, I look forward to that day when I have to say, now, everybody, listen. You're just giving so much. We don't know what to do with it. We're funding this. We're funding that. We're giving to this. We're giving to that. Please stop giving. We don't know what to do with it. I'm looking forward to that day. Hasn't arrived yet, but I'm looking forward to that day. Think it'll ever happen? Yeah. They had a heart for the house of God. They gave willingly. They all did a small part for a big thing. God wants us to have a heart for His house. I mean, contrast that attitude with the attitude in Haggai chapter 1. Completely different attitude. In Haggai chapter 1, it says, on August the 29th of the second year of King Darius's reign, the Lord gave a message through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. The people are saying the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. He said, why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. You've planted much, but harvest little. You eat, but you're not satisfied. You drink, but you're still thirsty. You put on clothes, but you cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. You ever felt like your wages were disappearing, like you're putting it in pockets with holes in it? This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening. Go to the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it, and I will be honest, says the Lord. You hoped for rich harvest, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. While you're all busy building your own fine houses, it's because of that the heavens withhold its dew and the earth produces no crops. Listen, family, God said that you're busy building your house, but you don't care about my house. Family, let me tell you, when you take care of the house of God, God will take care of your house.
Amen.
How do I know that? Because that's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What things? Well, if you read it, the whole chapter, he's talking about, don't worry what you're going to eat. Don't worry what you're going to drink. Don't worry what you're going to wear. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. What? Material things. God will bless you. God will take care of your house if you have a heart for His house. Amen. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
When you put God's house first, God will take care of your house. Amen. David had a heart for the house of God. David wanted to build a temple for God. But God said he couldn't because he had too much blood on his hands. He said, your son Solomon will build the temple. So David decided, if I can't build the temple, I'm going to give to see it built. I'm going to fund it. If I can't build it, I'm going to give to it. And the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1, then David the king, he addressed the congregation. He said, my son Solomon was singled out and chosen by God to do this. But he's young, he's untested, the work is huge. This is not just a place for people to meet each other. This is a house for God to meet us. How many of you know that this is not just a place where we meet each other? This is a place where God meets us. I said, how many of you know we come to the house of God because this is where God meets us? We need to have a heart for the house. Not just for what God does for me here, but for what God does for the community, for what God does for other people. That's what this house is all about. We're not a church. We're not a church of consumers. We're a church of contributors. We're not built on the talent of a few. We're built on the sacrifice of many. It's not about the building. It's about the people who come through those doors and experience the love of God and are transformed. Yeah. It's about the drug addicts that come and we welcome them with open arms and they get transformed, they get set free. Yeah. It's about homosexuals coming to the doors. We welcome with open arms. We don't reject them, we bring them in. We believe that God transforms people by the power of the Holy Spirit and sets people free. We believe when people walk through these doors, God embraces them, God loves them, and God transforms them. Amen?
Amen.
Unfortunately, a lot of people, they go to church selfishly. It's only about what it can do for them. Oh, I heard that guy preach. I heard Bill Weiss preach before. Well, I'm going to take. It's not just about you. It's about all the people around you that never heard Bill Weiss, that don't even know that hell is real. Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
Read on what David said in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 2. David said, I've done my best to get everything together for building the house of my God. All the materials necessary, the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, the lumber, the precious and varied colored stones, building stones, vast stockpiles. Furthermore, because my heart is in this. Say, my heart is in this. Because my heart is in this. In addition to and beyond what I've gathered, I'm turning over my personal fortune of gold and silver for making this place of worship for my God. Do you know that David gave every dime that he had in his personal fortune? He said, because I have set my affection on the house of my God. The New Living Bible says, because of my devotion to the temple of my God. He said, I have given 3,000 talents of gold. That's 113 tons of gold. I have given 7,000 talents of silver. That's 214 tons of silver. For covering the walls of the buildings and of gold and silver work done to be done by the craftsmen and the artisans. I've given 113 tons, all of my personal treasure. You see, David had a heart for the house of God. He gave all of his personal wealth. Do you know how much 113 tons of gold is worth? Over $5 billion. It's over $5 billion. Do you know how much 214 tons of silver is worth? It's like $500 million. See, it reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew 6:21. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is. You show me your checkbook. I'm not asking you to. It's just a statement. If you show me your checkbook, I will tell you where your heart is. Because where you spend your money, that's where your heart is. Amen.
Amen.
1 Chronicles 29 verse 5. David says, now how about you? Tell your neighbor, how about you?
Amen.
How about you? Who among you is ready and willing to join in the giving? Who's ready and willing to join in the giving? Ready and willing, the heads of families, leaders of the tribes of Israel, commanders and captains of the army, stewards of the king's affairs, step forward. And they gave willingly. They gave 5,000 talents, 188 tons. 188 tons of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, 100,000 talents of iron. Anyone who had precious jewels put them in the treasury for the building of the temple of God, and the people were full of a sense of celebration. All that giving willingly, freely. King David was exuberant. They were celebrating as they gave to God's house. There was a sense of celebration. This is an opportunity. This is not an obligation. This is a free will offering. The Bible says God loves cheerful givers. 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, let each one give as he's made up his own mind and purpose in his own heart, not reluctantly, not sorrowfully, not under compulsion, for God loves, God takes pleasure in, God prizes above other things, and he is unwilling to abandon a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. God loves a cheerful giver whose heart is in his giving. Look what David says next, and I'm coming to a close. 1 Chronicles 29, carry on reading. David blessed God in full view of the entire congregation. He said, blessed are you, God of Israel, our Father from of old and forever. To you, O God, belong the greatness and the might, the glory, the victory, the majesty, the splendor. Yes, everything in heaven, everything on earth. The kingdom is yours. You've raised yourself high over all. Riches and glory come from you. You're ruler over all. You hold strength and power in the palm of your hand to build up and to strengthen all. And here we are, O God, our God, giving thanks to you and praising your splendid name. But me, who am I? And who are these my people that we should presume to be giving something to you? I mean, think about it. Who am I that I could give something to God? How many of you know God doesn't need my giving? How many of you know God's not up in heaven wringing his hands saying, I sure hope so-and-so gives in the offering today because I don't know how I'm going to be able to pay the bill on the pearly gates this month if so-and-so don't. How many of you know God doesn't need our giving? Amen. David said, who am I that I could give something to you? Everything comes from you. All we're doing is giving back what we've been given from your generous hand. Do you know when you give to God, you're simply giving back what he gave to you in the first place? Some people, it's such a big deal for them to give. They squeeze Abraham Lincoln till tears come out of his eyes. Some people pull Abraham Lincoln out and he blinks because he hasn't seen the sunlight in a long time. Some people are giving us... It's such an issue. Everything I have, God gave to me. As far as you're concerned, we're homeless, shiftless wanderers like our ancestors. Our lives are merely shadows, hardly anything to us. God, our God, all these materials, these piles of stuff. He calls it stuff. These piles of stuff for building a house of worship for you, honoring your holy name. It all came from you. It was all yours in the first place, Lord. Do you know that that will radically transform your thinking about your finances? Do you know what will help you become radically generous? When you realize that everything you have, everything in your bank account, everything in your hand, it all came from God and it all belongs to him anyway. I love what David says next. He's standing amongst all the stuff that everyone has brought. There's piles of gold. There's piles of silver. I mean, there's tons of gold. He's standing amongst all this stuff. And he begins to speak to God on behalf of the people. He becomes introspective. He summarizes everything that stands before him. David's come to the end of his life. In fact, in the next chapter, he dies. So this is right at the end of his life. He's accumulated all this wealth over his life. The next chapter, he's about to depart. And he says, all this stuff, I want you to get the picture. He's standing in piles of gold and silver. He says, all this stuff that I've accrued over my whole life, all this stuff piled up in front of me, it means nothing. It means nothing. It all came from you. And then he says, I know, dear God, that you care nothing for the surface. You want us, our true selves. And so I have given from the heart. Do you know that God doesn't want your money? God wants you. Because when God has you, God's got your money too. If God don't have your money, he don't have you. He don't have your heart. David said, I've given from the heart. You want us, our true selves. I've given honestly, happily. And now see all these people doing the same? Giving freely, willingly. What a joy. Oh God, God of our father Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this generous spirit alive forever in these people always. Keep their hearts firmly set on you. David prayed a prayer. He said, Lord, may this generous spirit be kept alive forever. He says, I give my son Solomon an uncluttered, give my son Solomon an uncluttered and focused heart so that he can obey with your command, live by your directions and counsel, and carry through with building the temple for which I have provided. Do you know what we are about to do today? To step forward and to give generously to the house of God is the fruit of what David sowed in this passage 3,000 years ago. David prayed, Lord, I pray that you keep this generous spirit alive. David prayed a prayer for you and me that we would continue to give generously to the house of God. And how many of you believe we've got a responsibility to carry this spirit on to future generations? I'm so thankful my children are now in churches. Not Nadine's here, but I've got two kids in L.A., got a Hillsong Church L.A. I've got Luke down in Miami with Voo Church in Miami. They're all in churches building the house of God and giving to the house of God. And I am thankful for that. How about you? Listen, family, we got a responsibility. We got to keep the spirit carry on to our children. Let's have a heart for the house of God. Let's build the house of God. Let's bring people to the house of God. Let's serve in the house of God. Let's give generously unto the house of God. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
I'm asking you over the month of December. There's some extra things we want to do. Now, I don't tell you, most of the time I don't tell you the things that we face. We just trust God. But we have many weeks where the income in this church doesn't cover the expense. Many weeks. Where what comes in is not enough for what's going out. But I don't tell you. We just trust the Lord. But this is the time where once in the year, I'm asking you to do something special. I thank God for providing for us to be in this hotel. But how many of you know we need to get back into our own building? We need to get back into our own building. And we're going to do it. 2017, get ready. I want to tell you something else. Listen to me now. We are going into America. We are going into a time of blessing. We are going, America is going into a time of blessing. The next 8 years are going to be a time of incredible blessing in America. Something has happened in the heavenly realm. If you're in tune with the Spirit of God, God is moving in this nation. And I'm telling you right now, 2017 is going to be very different to 2016. How many believe that? I believe it. I'm asking you over the month of December, I'm asking you, church, to please listen to your heart. What the Lord would have you give, what you're able to give. Then throughout the month of December, bring your heart for the house offering. I tell you right now, another thing I want to do, I want to get a better screen. I was in San Antonio last weekend. I was preaching for Pastor Theo at the Christian Family Church San Antonio last week. And I met a man, Austin. His name is Austin, and he comes from Austin. I like that. I would love to say, hi, I'm Austin, and I'm from Austin. I'm Austin from Austin. And he said to me, we got talking, and he has a company. And they do LED screens. You know what LED screen is? You know when you drive down on the freeway and you see those bright screens even in the middle of the Florida sunshine and you can see that as LED? He said, I do LED screens. I said, I'd love to, because Christian Family Church in San Antonio, they're getting a big LED screen, 30-foot LED screen. He said to me, Pastor Steve, I will give you an LED screen at my cost price. I won't make a dime. I'll give it to you at my cost. In fact, he said, I'm going to lose money because I'll fly someone down to install and train your team. I would like to get rid of the screen and get an LED screen that we can have the windows open and we can have the spotlights and we can have the sunlight shine straight on it and it's perfect like in the movies. How many of you believe that the house of God should have excellence? I don't like it. I don't like the fact that you go to some kind of event in Vegas and you see the best of the best and you go to the church and it's like, my Lord, you can't even badly see the screen. Now, I thank God for this, but that's one thing I'd like to do. I'd like to get an LED screen. It'll be 12 feet wide, and whenever we move to the building, we'll take it with us. It'll be state of the art. I want us to get in a new building. So I'm asking you over the month of December, you can do it today. If you want to go home, think about it, pray about it, bring it back next week. And the final time will be on our Christmas Eve and Christmas Day services. But I'm asking you to do something special, something generous. I'm believing God for great things in this next year. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to ask you right now to take that envelope. It says Heart for the House. And there's various ways that you can give. You can give by writing a check to Christian Family Church. You can give. Show us the ways that we can give, please, Andrew. You can give online on our website, cfcjupiter.org. You can give by text giving. You can text give. You can give by the mobile app, Secure Give app. You can download it. You can give by credit card, debit card. There's a place on the envelope to give. But we're gonna pray. We're gonna believe God. Family, I'm believing God that 2017 is gonna be a great year of hope for you. 2017 is gonna be a great year of hope. I'm believing 2017 is gonna be a year of increase and blessing and breakthrough for you. Does anyone else believe that too? Does anyone else believe in God for great things in 2017? Say 2017 is going to be a great year for me. I believe in God for increase, breakthrough, and blessings in my life in 2017. Excuse me. What about it? I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying. I don't understand what you're saying. Are you talking about us personally or everybody? No, I'm talking about it. We're only receiving one offering today. Okay? So this is your tithes, your regular tithes, your regular offering. And also, this is a Heart for the House, something over and above. Something that we do once at the end of the year. That's what. Right? Okay. Is everybody ready?
Yes.
I said, is everybody ready?
Yes.
Do you know how to spell thousand? I'm just teasing you. Praise the Lord. I want you to hold it in your hand. I want to pray for you. I'm going to pray over it. Do you receive this word today? How many of you say, Pastor, I've got a heart for the house? How many of you say, I've got a heart for the house of God? Amen? Say, I've got a heart for the house of God. Say, I'm passionate about God's house. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. This is your house. This is your church. Jesus, you had a heart for the house of God. You were passionate about the house of God. I thank you, Lord. We too have a passion for your house. Lord, as we give today, we give because we're thankful and we're grateful for all that you've done in our life through your house. As we give today, Lord, we give with faith and with expectancy. Because we are believing you for breakthroughs and blessings and increase in 2017. I thank you, Lord. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Lord, I thank you that joy is headed our way. I thank you, Father. I thank you for every giver today. I thank you, Lord, for blessing every giver, for bringing supernatural increase, for opening doors of opportunity. I thank you for surrounding people with your favor. I thank you for giving people divinely inspired ideas. I thank you, Lord, for bringing divine connections across our path. I thank you for supernatural debt cancellation. I thank you, Father, for blessing, for breakthrough, for acceleration in 2017. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, this will be a great year. This is our year. We have great hope for this year. We thank you and praise you. Lord, we give today because we love you. We give today because we're grateful. We give today with expectancy. We know, Lord Jesus, you said that when we give, it will be given back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I thank you for blessing every giver, for bringing supernatural harvest in our life. in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Say this, say the windows of heaven are open over my life. Say thank you, Lord, that you are pouring blessings on me, blessings on my family. Say thank you for increase in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. As we sing, I want to ask the ushers to go ahead today and receive the offering. And I want you to sing. Let's just worship the Lord as we give. I'm going to close the service right after this with the invitation. So just hang in a couple of minutes. We're almost done. Put that offering in. Do it with faith. Do it with expectancy. Do it with joy. Lord, we celebrate as we give today. We are cheerful givers. Say, I'm a cheerful giver. Say, I love to give to the house of God. Amen. Thank you, Marlene. Go ahead, ushers. Today, and you are not sure where you stand with the Lord, you're not sure if all is right between you and God, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die tonight, today, if you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain, you know without any doubt, that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I die today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church today. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God today. I'm asking you if you died today, are you certain? Can you say you know for sure? You have no doubt. You know you'd go to heaven. Because the good news is you can know that. You can be sure of that. You can walk out of here this morning knowing that all is right, all is well between you and God, knowing that every mistake and every sin you've ever committed in your life is forgiven and it's washed away. You can walk out of here today knowing for certain when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend the rest of eternity. Dear friend, heaven is real. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come out here at the front, but right where you are, while heads are bowed, while eyes are closed, this is between you and God. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer you're going to pray. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well with me and God. Pray for me. If that's you, I want you quickly, right now, quickly, just lift up your hand. I'm looking for hands. Lift it up high. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Just put it up high. I'm looking for anyone else. Pastor Steve, pray for me too. Just lift up your hand and I'll include you in this prayer. I want everyone who lifted your hand, I want to ask you, please say this prayer with me. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I want you to say this from your heart. And church, I'm going to ask, let's all say this prayer together with them. So everybody in the building, say this with me. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to this earth for me, to die on the cross, to take my sin and my punishment. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I would confess Jesus is my Lord, you said I would be saved. And so I do this today. I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Save me, Lord. Make me your child. Because today I surrender my life to you. I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. That means from today, I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to do what your Bible says. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you are my very own Father. And I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home. And my name is written down in your book of life. Say, thank you, Lord, that you lead and guide my life from today forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Say amen. Give God thanks and praise, church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Congratulations to those people who lifted your hand up. God bless you. I want to ask you as we leave today, just one minute longer. If you lifted your hand, please remain seated where you are. We have counselors going to come to you. We have a gift for you before you go home. We'll just keep you for a minute or two. I want to encourage everybody. You have a heart for the house of God. How many of you know in 2 weeks' time we have our Christmas services? I said, how many of you know 2 weeks' time we have our Christmas services? We're going to be having Christmas Eve at 7 p.m. And then on Christmas Day, that's on Sunday, we're having 10 p.m. So it'll be the same service, 10 a.m., excuse me. Same service. I want to encourage you, please. You got a heart for the house? Bring someone to Christmas service. Bring someone to the Christmas service. Will you do it? How many are you going to invite someone to the Christmas service? Come on, are you going to invite somebody? I said, how many are you going to invite someone to the Christmas service? Take some invites with you. Let me tell you, one of the easiest time of the year to get someone to come to church with you is Christmas time. We're going to have Christmas carols. I'm going to have a great Christmas message. We have a wonderful time. Saturday, the 24th of December, take those invites. Invite someone. And then finally, how many of you know what's happening tomorrow night? What's happening tomorrow night? Tomorrow night is our Christmas dinner. We're having our Christmas dinner at Verona Ristoranti. That's the right date. Anthony's the general manager there. They've given us a phenomenal deal. If you haven't got your ticket, please go to the book table and get it. It's $35. It's a four-course meal. It's a five-star restaurant. This is a great opportunity to meet people in church. We're going to have great music. We're going to have a lot of fun. Get your ticket at the book table. Come into the dinner with us. God bless you. We love you. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad I sat next to you today. We'll see you next week.